The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And I'm just going to get started. Hello and good night and welcome to the Doctors In with me, Dr. Junothra Archer-Cartwright. For some reason, I don't know, I could never hear the intro of the show. So I'm always a little bit taken aback about whether we're ready to start or not. But thanks for tuning in to the Doctors In with me, Dr. Junothra Archer-Cartwright. I'm a family medicine specialist. And we talk about things that are related to health, wellness, and things that pertain to the Bahamian society at large. And so I just want you all to listen on in, and if you have any questions, we're going to open the phone line tonight. But our topic is really focused around the women tonight, because you know, on the 8th of this month is going to be International Women's Day. So you know, if you have a special woman in your life, or you just want to show your appreciation to women in general, this is a great week to kind of do that. I know a lot of organizations and groups are doing things, including Zonta and their Roses and different stuff. So, you know, reach out to a woman who you feel deserves a little extra and let her know how you feel about her just being a woman and her contribution, because, you know, it's a special thing. And we celebrate women and men. But this is International Women's Day coming up on the 8th. So tell a woman how special she is, or do something that will make her feel special. All right. Someone said it is also Kidney Month. You said you would cover this month. Well, I said that last year I had a kidney specialist on, Dr. Grant Taylor, during Kidney Month, and she did a really excellent special discussing kidney disease. But thank you for reminding me, Watcher. I will keep that in, of note. We got a couple more Tuesdays in the month. Maybe we can still squeeze in something about kidneys. So thank you for reminding me about that. So I'll kind of see what I have put together, or see if one of our kidney specialists wants to come and talk about Kidney Month again, because I thought that was a really excellent show. So if you want to check back last year, March, we would have that show recorded on our Facebook page, The Doctors In with me, Dr. Junothra Archer. It will say The Doctors In with me, Dr. D. Archer. You can find that, and as well as we'll do some, maybe an update of that maybe next week or the following week. This March is a couple of good Tuesdays in there, so we will not forget Kidney Month. Thank you very much. So, of course, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical healthcare needs. We are a full family medicine clinic, and we see people of all ages. So if you're looking for a family physician, you can give us a call, 326-1521, or our WhatsApp line, 432-4010. And we also sign up persons for NHI. So if you're needing assistance with that and you want to join with us, then you can join up. I think I might have a few more slots for NHI. And of course, we have another doctor that works with us. So you can check that out, or check us out on Facebook. We're also on Instagram, and that's medical_concierge_services. So yeah, any one of those places, for those of you who don't know, we're located on Collins Avenue in the Bahamas Heart Center. So we're really easy to find, and you know, once you are a part of our clinic, you are a part of our family. We try to take really good care of you. So give us a shout if you need a family physician. Now tonight, I guess it's because it's the Women's International Day is coming up. I thought this topic would be a little more geared to the women. And I thought I'd do something that was really kind of common and something women deal with all the time. But I guess sometimes they get a lot of flack about whether they're really dealing with these things or not. And people make a lot of jokes about this in general. But this is actually a serious topic that really women deal with almost every month for a lot of women. And it can be very stressful for some people. And so I thought I would cover premenstrual syndrome, or what we call PMS. So you hear people say PMS, and we kind of joke about whether PMS is really like a real thing or whatever like that. But there is really a medical a ground for all the things that happen during this time. So what is PMS really? For those of you who don't know, it's premenstrual syndrome, which has a wide variety of signs and symptoms, including mood swings, tenderness of the breasts, food cravings, fatigue, irritability, and depression. And it is estimated that as many as 3 out of 4 women, menstruating women, have experienced some form of PMS. So this is really a real syndrome. It really affects people's lives, and it can take a toll on some people and even have some more serious effects that could affect your quality of life. So it's a syndrome that happens. It's related to menstruation and the whole cyclic cycle of a woman's cycle during the month. And so some women every month really go through some changes which affects their daily life. So these symptoms tend to be reoccurring, and they usually happen in a very predictable pattern. But the physical and emotional changes that are experienced with PMS may vary just slightly and noticeably to the amount of intensity related to the signs and symptoms. So you don't have to let these problems control your life. There are treatments, there are lifestyle adjustments that can help to reduce and to manage the signs and the symptoms and the stress related to PMS. And so we're going to look at what some of those signs and symptoms may be, what kind of life changes and adjustments that you can make, when to speak to your doctor about all of this if it becomes something that's really, really problematic. And if you do need some form of treatment, when would be the time to really kind of seek help for that? So there are really a lot of potential signs and symptoms for premenstrual syndrome. It's a really long list of things. But most women only experience a few of these problems. So we'll go through some of the most prominent ones, and those would be tension or just anxiety. These are the emotional behavioral signs and symptoms that are related. Some women experience almost a sense of depression or depressed mood right before. They have crying spells, mood swings, irritability, and even anger. There can be changes in your appetite, changes in the foods that you're craving. Some persons have trouble falling asleep and what we call insomnia. So sometimes you may not realize that some of these problems are even related to a monthly cycle. So some women have social withdrawal. Their concentration can be poor, and they may have changes in what we call libido or their sex drive. So what are some of the physical signs and symptoms that would be related? Well, it can really range from a variety of things, from joint and muscle pains. You know, a lot of times during that period, everything is kind of like a heightened sense in reality. So joint and muscle pain can be a physical sign or symptom of PMS. You can also have headaches, fatigue, weight gain, or fluid retention. And I know a lot of women go through this whole weight gain and fluid retention at that time. So if you're going to do your weight, that may not be the best time to do it. You want to wait until things, all your hormones kind of level out, especially if you're doing like a weight loss program or something like that. That can really kind of make you feel like you're losing or gaining weight when you are not. Abdominal bloating is another physical sign or symptom. Tenderness of the breast, Some people even have acne flare-ups, or they, you know, they have that one spot or change in their skin that happens every month. Some people experience both constipation or diarrhea. And then some people have changes to the foods and the things that they drink, such as their alcohol intolerance may be a problem. So you may not be able to drink as much as normal around that time. So there are a lot of things that can be related to this syndrome. And you may not even be realizing it as a woman and just thinking this is a normal part of your everyday life, but it is kind of related to a lot of these things. For some people, however, the physical pain and emotional stress are severe enough to affect their daily lives. So regardless of symptom severity, the signs and symptoms generally disappear within 4 days after the start of the menstrual period for most women. So as bad as it may seem, within the 4 day period, they tend to go away. So if you have this recurrent thing happening, this is most likely what it's related to. But a small number of women with premenstrual syndrome have a more disabling symptoms that happen every month. And this form of PMS is called premenstrual dysphoric dysfunction, or PMDD. PMDD and symptoms and signs include depressed mood, major mood swings, extreme anger or anxiety, feeling overwhelmed, or extreme difficulty, irritability, and tension. So that could be a sign that you're having a bit more severe symptoms when the emotional symptoms really are really, really strong. And so you should think about seeing a doctor or getting management for that problem if your premenstrual syndrome with lifestyle changes doesn't really change. And so we're going to look at some of what really causes all of that, and then how we can shift things inside our lifestyle to first try to treat that, and then what kinds of things we will need to do in order to, if we have to go to the doctor or we need additional treatment. So exactly what causes PMS is really unknown. The complete understanding of it is just not there. But there are several factors that contribute to the condition. And one of the main factors with all of us is these cyclic changes in our hormones. So signs and symptoms of premenstrual syndrome change with hormonal fluctuations in the body and disappear with pregnancy and menopause. And so you'll see that you will not have these types of symptoms when you go into menopause. And we'll touch a little bit on menopause at the end if we have time. And during our time of pregnancy, because of course you do not have these hormonal fluctuations that you do when you are a woman who goes through cyclic changes. So you have effects at this time with the chemicals in our brain. We actually have changes and fluctuation in a hormone called serotonin, which is a brain chemical or a neurotransmitter that is thought to play a crucial role in mood states and can also trigger PMS symptoms. So that's really the science behind it, you know. Insufficient amounts contribute to premenstrual depression as well as to fatigue, food cravings, and also sleep disturbances. Depression. Some women with severe premenstrual syndrome have undiagnosed depression, and through depression alone does not cause all the symptoms. It may be one of the things in the background that are making things severe. So if you are having a lot of emotional changes, a lot of issues with mood or depressed mood during your cycle or before in this premenstrual stage, it may not just be the hormonal changes, but you may have underlying depression. It may not just be getting worse or more noticeable during that time. And that's why it's important if symptoms don't go away or they seem to be quite severe and affecting your lifestyle, that you do some treatment. And, you know, this is really why it's good to, like, keep up your clinic appointments and to have your annuals done, because some of these things can be done in screening or just in a regular evaluation. They can be picked up by the physician and instead of having to live or go through these things or wait till they're very extreme. So how do we make this diagnosis? There are no unique physical findings or lab tests to plausibly diagnose premenstrual syndrome. However, your doctor may attribute a particular symptom to PMS if it is part of your predictable menstrual pattern. So to help establish your menstrual pattern, you would need to record the signs and the symptoms on a calendar or in a diary for at least two menstrual cycles, noting the day that you first notice any of your PMS-like symptoms, as well as when they disappear. So really, you're charting. I find diaries are really, really helpful for when you're trying to figure out and pinpoint what may be causing a particular sign or symptom inside of you. So you would actually write down on the dates and times and link that with your cycle to see if there's any correlation. Also, you want to make sure that you mark the days of your periods for when it starts and when it ends. So certain conditions also can mimic what we call the PMS. And this includes conditions such as our chronic fatigue syndrome. If you do have thyroid disease or some type of mood disorder, such as depression that we talked about, anxiety, that's one. I'm actually seeing a lot of people with who are having anxiety. A really good conversation with a patient the other day about anxiety, not just in women, but also in men. And I was just noticing that I find a lot of men do suffer from anxiety, but they're usually to pinpoint it the way that women do, because men tend to deal with stress in a very different way. And so they let a lot of things build up. And that's why I actually find that a lot more men are actually dealing with anxiety and not realizing it. And when you allow those things to happen, they kind of sometimes even manifest into different types of physical symptoms. And sometimes that can lead doctors down the wrong path. But if you can take a really good history and find out what's causing the stress, what's causing the anxiety, you can usually pinpoint these issues and you can treat them. So your healthcare provider would order tests such as your thyroid function tests. And do some depression screening sometimes to just clear out that there is not another cause for some of the symptoms that you're having. And so some diseases can masquerade because they may just be more noticeable symptoms, but have nothing to do with your period. So you really want to get that worked up and made sure if you're having serious issues. So how do we really kind of treat something like this? Well, for many women, lifestyle changes can relieve PMS. You know, we always kind of go back to lifestyle changes. A lot of people say that doctors medicate a lot, but really the first step in most diagnosis or issues or problems, unless you have like a severely acute issue, it has some relation to some form of lifestyle modifications, because really what we're doing, our environment, the things that we're doing in our body, the things that we're putting in our body, really affect a lot of these conditions and are really based on inflammatory processes. So depending on the severity of your symptom, you know, you can start off with some lifestyle adjustments, and then some doctors may actually have to prescribe one or more that will help. And some of the medications that sometimes come up, depending on what it is. And this is where it's extremely important to differentiate if there is a background cause or not, because you know, some of these women with severe, more mental health aspects of it can end up taking antidepressants, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So different medications that they can take lately if it's mood or depressive symptoms. We talk about non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like NSAIDs, and this can be taken before or on the onset of your periods. And that's just simply like things like ibuprofen, which would be found in Advil, Motrin. Some people use naproxen or Relieve. And this can ease symptoms such as cramping and diuretics when there is exercise and limiting salt intake aren't enough to reduce weight gain, swelling, and bloating. You know, but I tend not to use diuretics and these types of medication unless there is some other extreme issue that's going on, but some women in extreme cases would have to use some of this medication to ease some of their symptoms. And then, of course, your hormonal contraceptives, we'll talk a little bit about that later, but these are prescription medications that stop ovulation and bring some relief. So you'll find that some people are not on what we call birth control medication for birth control, but actually in some people, they help to alleviate some of the symptoms of PMS. And so what are some of the lifestyle and home remedies that we can talk about? You can sometimes manage or reduce these symptoms of PMS by making changes that you eat. So exercise and approach daily life. So we're going to talk about a few of those tips that are really, really helpful. So when we talk about modifying your diet in relation to PMS, we're talking about eating smaller, more frequent meals to reduce bloating and a sensation of fullness. Limiting your salt intake and salty foods to reduce bloating and fluid retention. People don't realize what the amount of salt really does to their body beyond hypertension. But salt is really is one of those things that is regulated throughout the body. And the body is always in kind of trying to be in homeostasis. So whenever you have too much of a particular thing, you do cause problems within your own body. So salt is one of those really big culprits that hides behind, especially fast foods, and finding that a lot of young people are actually having problems related to high salt content because they eat a lot of fast food, even if they're not a big person, and even if they're fairly young. You know, salt has become one of those things that almost is intrinsic in the Bahamian diet. I find that we do have, the average Bahamian has a taste for what we call a more seasoned or a saltier version of seasoning food. And so you can see where the relation is between that and these chronic diseases, but we can also see in something like a PMS where salt also plays a factor. You want to choose foods that are high in complex carbohydrates, such as fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, of course. And you want to choose foods that are rich in calcium. If you cannot tolerate dairy products or aren't getting calcium in your diet, you can also do a daily calcium supplement. It may help, and especially for women as they get older, calcium becomes really, really important. So calcium is rich diet is really helpful when you're trying to decrease some of the symptoms of PMS. You want to avoid excessive caffeine or alcohol as well. And it's extremely important. And I find this is very, very important. And I use this with a lot of young ladies who may be having problems in this area. But incorporating exercise into your regular routine. For young women, I find that if you're doing exercise outside of just like a PE or, you know, just walking to your class or whatever, it tends to be one of those that really cuts down on cramping and pain by incorporating at least 30 minutes of brisk walking, cycling, swimming, or some type of aerobic exercise into most days of exercise. You can help improve overall health and alleviate certain symptoms such as fatigue and depressed mood. Really, really good. I really, really stress that one. It's one of the first things that you can do that will show really a change and a lot of effectiveness right away is if you incorporate that exercise. A big one that we deal with all the time, reducing your stress. And so by reducing your stress, you can also mitigate some of these symptoms. So you want to get lots and lots of sleep, get plenty of sleep. And you know I always talk about at least 7-8 hours of sleep per night. You want to practice progressive muscle relaxation or deep breathing exercises to help reduce headaches, anxiety, and troubles sleeping. So this is great to do in the evening or first thing in the morning, and it's really helpful for some of those things. And then you want to do any other mediation type stuff that you into yoga, massage, relax, or anything else that relieves your stress. So decreasing your stress will definitely decrease inflammation, and it will actually help with a lot of these symptoms, right? So I talked about a little bit about how sometimes people manifest some of our stress through actual physical ailments. And a lot of women actually do manifest some of their stress through some of their PMS symptoms. So want to make those better, bring your stress levels down. All right. There are some alternative methods that have really found to be very effective in terms of complementary remedies used to soothe symptoms of premenstrual syndrome. And we talked a little bit about supplementation, such as calcium, but one of the other ones that comes up as magnesium, your vitamin E supplements, vitamin B6, soothe symptoms. But the evidence is limited or lacking, but there is a lot of people that kind of stand by that. So if you're into supplementation, you know, that may be of assistance. And a lot of times supplements aren't going to do anything to you, so unless you really overdo it. There's some herbal remedies on the market. Some women report relief of PMS symptoms with the use of things like ginkgo, ginger, chasteberry, even primrose oil, and St. John's worts. However, there's very few scientific studies that have found these herbs as effective for relief as PMS. Herbal remedies also aren't regulated by the FDA, so there's no really records of product safety or effectiveness. They're kind of like supplements, so you should talk with your doctor before you use any kind of herbal product, making sure that there are effects, because people think things come from nature. They can have side effects, especially if you're on other medication. And if you're taking St. John's wort, for example, it can reduce the effectiveness of your birth control. So be careful when you're using alternative or complementary medicine that it doesn't affect the things that you're doing. There are some people that talk about acupuncture, which is a practice of inserting sterilized stainless needles into the skin at specific body points. Some women experience some type of symptom relief after they have acupuncture. So that's one of the things that you can consider if you're looking for some type of alternative. But I really think you should go in there, sit with your doctor, kind of figure out what's going on. And usually lifestyle modification can really help a lot of this stuff. So if you're likely to start by seeing your family doctor or your primary care provider, however, in some cases, when you call to set up your appointment, you may get referred to a specialist like a gynecologist if it's something out of the realm of your particular doctor. So don't be too surprised. Some of the things that you can do to prepare if you have having this issue and you want to go in and talk to your doctor, you want to be aware of any symptoms that you might be having or experiencing. You can start on your own kind of writing those down so that you have a reason and, you know, a list of things that you can go through about what you're experiencing so that the doctor has a good idea of tying it all together. You want to make a list of all your key medical information, including other conditions that you may have or have been treated for, and the names of any medication, vitamins, or supplements that you're taking. Very, very important, especially if you're seeing a physician for the first time. If you have this key information, your appointment can go a lot. So you want to consider questions that you want to ask your doctor, and you want to write them down. You want to bring along any kind of notepad or a book or an address book that you might have. So, I encourage a lot of these things in my clinic. For premenstrual syndrome, some of the basic questions to ask your doctor, is there anything I can do to minimize my symptoms? Will my PMS symptoms eventually go away on their own? And could the symptoms that I'm experiencing indicate a more serious medical condition? You want to ask about what they would recommend for the treatment and what treatments are currently available. Is there a generic alternative to the medication you're prescribing, if you're considering that? And do you have any other printed material or brochures that I can take with me or a website you can recommend? So it's always great to read up on these things yourself. So don't hesitate to ask any questions that you may have in the future. And what would your doctor really expect out of you at that time? So they would want to know how severe your symptoms are, on what days during your menstrual cycle you are your symptoms are the worst? Do you have symptom-free days during your menstrual cycle? And can you participate when your symptoms are coming on? Can you anticipate? So do you feel them coming on? Do you know that they're coming on? Can you tell what they're going to be? You want to know if anything makes them seem better or worse, and if your symptoms interfere with your daily activity. That's going to be a really big one to determine if your symptoms are really severe or just like mild or moderate. You want to know, have you recently felt down or depressed or hopeless? So how you're feeling at the time and during these episodes, how you're feeling? And have you or anyone in your family been diagnosed with any kind of psychiatric illness? It's also good to kind of know what treatments that you've tried so far. Has anything worked? Has anything not worked? That type of thing. So we're going to take a quick break. And then we will be back to kind of tie up this topic. And we'll touch a little bit on menopause as well. So we'll be back in a few moments on the...
Just show me Bala boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bala hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
Back to the Doctors and Guardian Radio 96.9. You can also listen to us on guardiantalkradio.com. And of course, we're on Facebook Live. The Doctors In with me, Dr. D. Archer, brought to you tonight by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical health care needs. We also provide concierge services so we can come to you. If you can't come to us for some reason, wherever you are in New Providence or throughout the Bahamas, just give us a call, 326-1521, or our WhatsApp line, 432-4010, Medical Concierge Services. All right, so we are talking a lot about premenstrual syndrome, and I'm going to give out the numbers in case anyone wants to jump into our conversation. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. So we're going to wrap up that and then maybe touch a little bit on the topic of menopause, but we're just kind of round. So we've been talking about PMS, premenstrual syndrome, which is the name of the symptoms women can experience in the weeks before their period. Most women have a PMS at some point, and you can get help for it if it affects your daily life. Some of the symptoms that we talked about were mood swings, feeling upset, anxious, or irritable, tiredness, trouble sleeping, bloating or pain, breast tenderness, headaches, spotty skin, even changes in your hair, and changes in your appetite. Some of the things that you can do is to exercise regularly, eat a healthy and balanced diet. You may find that eating frequent smaller meals every 2 to 3 hours suits you better than three larger meals. You want to get lots of sleep. 78 hours is recommended, and try reducing your stress by doing yoga or meditation, prayer, whatever works for you. You want to take painkillers such as ibuprofen or paracetamol to ease your pain. And you want to keep a diary of your symptoms for at least 2 to 3 of your menstrual cycles so that you can take this to your GP appointment. We don't, things that you don't want to do, things that would make things worse, would be to smoke. So you don't want to smoke. You want to cut down on your drinking and your alcohol. And if you're going to see your GP, things you can do to help are not working. Tell them about it, your symptoms that are affecting your daily lifestyle. And a GP can, a family physician can advise you on the treatments that you can use to help. And we talked about some of those, which would be some hormonal treatments like the pill, cognitive behavioral or talk therapy, antidepressants, some of the dietary supplements that we discussed. And if you still get symptoms after trying these lifestyle adjustments, you do a specialist such as a gynecologist or depending on the symptoms, a psychiatrist or a counselor. There are also some complementary therapies and dietary supplementations that you can try, which there's limited evidence, but are said to be effective by, you know, regular people. And they would include your acupuncture, your reflexology, your supplementations with your B6, calcium, vitamin D, and magnesium. With that as well, you know, you want to talk to your doctor about any of these supplements and how, if any, of them can also affect you. You want to look at the causes, which are not fully understood, but are related to a woman's hormonal changes. And you want to figure out if you do have premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which is a bit more severe and found in less women, which would mean that the physical symptoms such as cramps, headaches, joint and muscle pain, with strong behavioral symptoms such as binge eating or problem sleeping, mental and emotional symptoms such as feeling very anxious, angry, depressed, and in some cases even suicidal. So please take this seriously. And if you need urgent advice, you should speak to your doctor or get an emergency appointment or call, you know, our healthcare services or an ambulance if you're feeling like harming yourself. So that's really PMS in a nutshell. We're just going to, since we're doing women's topics, a little bit on menopause as we wrap up our session for tonight. And it is kind of the other inevitable thing that a lot of women will have to deal with over time. And it's almost kind of the opposite of PMS and all these other symptoms, but it comes with issues. And so I saw a little story. There's a 52-year-old female, and she was excited to be starting a new phase in her life as her children leave home. And she has more spare time for other interests. She's looking forward to traveling and taking various but recent health changes have been getting in her way, the way of her plans. So she has been having irregular menstrual periods for the past few months. And now she's having hot flashes and trouble sleeping. The hot flashes, which causes her body and her face to heat up quickly and make her extremely uncomfortable, are waking her up several times per night. Riss is tired and irritable from lack of sleep and fed up with the hot flashes. She's ready to talk to a doctor to find out about some relief. So this patient in particular is experiencing a menopausal transition, which is a normal part of aging for a woman. Menopause is not a disease, it's not a disorder, and it is the first time in a woman's life that she is often fully going through a transition in addition to other physical changes other than very early in her life. So women may be caring for, it's a really odd time because you may be caring for your parents who are older or other relatives. You may still be supporting your children as they move into adulthood or taking on new responsibilities at work. So all of this kind of happens around that time. Some women don't have any trouble with menopause, whereas others have a variety of different symptoms. And some people feel differently about it. They feel great. There's no more chance of pregnancy. There's no more periods. And for some women, it is an end of an era in their life. So for other women, menopause transition can bring on hot flashes, trouble sleeping, and painful interactions, moodiness, irritability, depression, or even a combination of these symptoms. Some may decide to talk with their doctor about their lifestyle changes and medications to treat their symptoms. And so this can be a really stressful period in a woman's life. And, you know, it's something that we don't always talk about, but it can be a very concerning time. And so what really is menopause? Menopause is a point in time 12 months after a woman has her last period. The years leading up to the point when a woman may have these changes in her monthly cycles, hot flashes, and other symptoms are called the menopausal transition or perimenopausal phase. So all that time that you're kind of back and forth, and you'll hear a lot of women say, well, you know, my period was on and then it was not and all that stuff, it's going back and forth. That's the perimenopausal phase. And once you've had 12 months where there's absolutely no period, you are basically in menopause. So the menopausal transition most often begins with most women between the ages of 45 and 55, and it usually lasts about 7 years, but can be as long as 14. The duration can depend on your lifestyle factors such as smoking, age, it begins, race, and ethnicity. So during perimenopause, the body's production of estrogen and progesterone, two hormones in the body of the ovaries, varies greatly. Menopause transitional effects each woman uniquely and in various different ways. The body begins to use energy differently and fat cells start to change. And women may gain more easily and you may experience changes in your bone health, the shape of your body and the composition, or even the physical function. So if you're having symptoms that are common during menopause, your doctor may ask you questions about your age, your symptoms, your family history, and determine if it really is menopause that you're transitioning through. So I tend to have a lot of women coming in with various things and they're not really sure what's going on. And usually it's that light bulb moment when the doctor kind of puts it all together and realizes that this is probably menopause. So in some cases, you might end up having to do some tests to make sure that your hormone levels are okay. So they'll check your follicle stimulating hormones and your estradiol levels to make sure to rule out there isn't any other cause that you might be experiencing these symptoms. So whilst menopausal transition may commonly be referred to as menopause, true menopause, as we said, doesn't happen until a year after a woman's final menstrual period. For that reason, a woman does not want to get pregnant and should continue to use birth control months after a last period if you are a person that's using, or, you know, if you have to be careful during that part. There's a little joke that some women have there, what we call retirement baby during that time. So if you're married and you're not sure, there is still a chance or an opportunity that you may be able to give birth. So menopause can also be triggered by a hysterectomy or a surgical removal of ovaries, which can produce a hormone. So if you have surgery to remove your uterus or your ovaries and are not taking any kind of hormones, you'll also experience some type of menopause quite immediately. So I like to ask patients, what did you have? A lot of times, if your ovaries have also been removed, then you will go through, like we said, some type of menopause. You will go through menopause. So after menopause, women would enter a postmenopausal phase, and postmenopausal women are more vulnerable to things like heart disease and osteoporosis. During this time, it is really important to continue with your healthy lifestyle and diet, to be active, and to make sure that you're getting enough calcium for maximum bone health. So what are some of the symptoms of menopause? So estrogen is used by many parts in your body as a woman, and as levels of your estrogen decrease, you can have various symptoms. Many women experience mild, very mild symptoms that can be treated by simple lifestyle changes, such as avoiding caffeine, fat, and some other women require treatment. Some don't require anything at all, but then some women will have more severe symptoms. And the severity of the symptoms varies greatly around the world by race, ethnicity, and so there's such a wide gap in between what a woman may experience. Here are the most common changes you might notice in midlife. Some may be part of the aging rather than directly related to menopause. So a change in your period, this might be what you first notice, and your periods may no longer be regular. So they may be shorter or last longer. You might bleed more or less than usual. And these are all kind of normal changes, but it makes sure that there isn't a problem. You should see your doctor if you have any kind of changes in your cycle. If they're happening very close together, if you're having heavy bleeding, if your period lasts more than a week, if your periods resume after no bleeding for more than a year, these are all kind of telltale signs to go to your doctor and get it checked out, because it may be something else that's going on. Some women experience hot flashes. Many women have hot flashes, which can last for many years after menopause. They may be related to changes in the estrogen levels. A hot flash is a sudden feeling of heat in the upper part of all of your body. Your face and your neck may become flushed. You may have red blotches, may appear on your chest, your back, or your arms. Some people experience very heavy sweating or cold shivers. Can follow hot flashes, can be very mild, or they can be strong enough to wake a person up at night, and they may feel like they're having what we call night sweats. So most hot flashes last between 30 seconds to 10 minutes, and they can happen several times an hour or a few times a day or just a few times per week. So you can find a lot of information on an article called Hot Flashes, What Can I Do? Bladder control. So a loss of bladder control, or what we call incontinence. Some women may have a sudden urge to urinate, or urine may leak during exercise, sneezing, or laughing. The first step in treating a condition like this is to see your doctor, of course, and because it could just be a bladder infection. But they tend to also occur, can occur in midlife. Sleep. Around midlife, some women start having trouble getting a good night's sleep. Maybe you can't fall asleep, or you wake too early. The night sweats may wake you up. And if you wake up during the night, you may have trouble falling back to sleep. So learn how to improve your sleep during menopausal transition and beyond. You know, you can talk about sleep hygiene and what that means. And sometimes you have to make an adjustment during that time period. A great article for that is called Sleep Problems, Menopause, What Can I Do? Vaginal health and sexuality. So after menopause, the vaginal area may become drier. It may make any kind of interaction uncomfortable. And there are varying things that you can do also to help with that. And you may find that just your complete attitude to intimacy starts to change. And this could mean that there is less interest, or this could mean that there is actually a heightened interest, because some people feel freer, and some women just feel good about that age. So it really depends. So you also have to remember that Being free doesn't mean that you cannot get any sexually transmitted diseases, so you need to be careful out there. You know, there are STDs that still exist. Mood changes, similar to PMS, you might also feel very moody or more irritable around this time. And we're not really sure why this happens, but it's possibly related to the stress related to this change and just this time period of life, which is usually a lot very transitional for most people and may be a reason why some of them by depression. So your body seems different. So this is a time when some women's body changes. So your waist may get larger. You can lose muscle and it may be easier to actually gain fat. Your skin starts to thin out a bit at this age as well. And so you may also see a few changes there as well. Your joints, your muscles feel stiff and achy, and researchers are exploring such changes and how they're related to hormones and growing older. So just this generalized joint pain, which I do see a lot of people after the age of about 50 kind of coming in with joint pain, whether it be osteoarthritis or just this seems to be this general achiness that happens to people around this age, and especially women complaining of that. So they're really looking into how the hormonal changes in the menopause and postmenopausal stages are really affecting the joint pain and the issues that people have with their joints. And there's probably some protective qualities related to estrogen in your body before menopause. So in addition, for some women, symptoms include aches and pains, headaches, even heart palpitations. So you want to follow up with a doctor if you're having any one of those, because menopausal symptoms may be caused by changing hormone levels. It is very unpredictable on how a woman will have this experience and how severe they will be. So treating menopause symptoms, really you have to figure out what's going to be right for you. And that really has to be a discussion between you and your physician, figuring out what is going on with you and how and what works for you. And so this is going to be different for different people. It's good to have that conversation where you kind of map out what's going on with you in terms of menopause, trying a variety of different, maybe doing that plan with your physician so you have a really good idea of what you need to do. But this will require that you have a full discussion about your symptoms, your family, your medical history, your kind of your preferences. And no matter what you decide, you should talk about that treatment plan and discuss those changes so that you're all on the same page. This time can be very, very stressful time. And it's really a time that you may need a lot of support, both emotionally and physically in various ways. And you should have that open communication with your healthcare provider to kind of help you through that transition. You should do as much as you can to do your own research and to learn more about hot flashes, sleep problems, and any kind of sexual problem, menopause, and kind of figuring out how any of these sequenced would have be related to you and how you would work that out with your doctor. So menopause for women is basically just a part of aging. It is a stage of life that women go through. It can be a very tricky time, and there is a multitude of signs and symptoms that may be related. Each woman will go through this period of her life in a different way, and most people will have a different perception depending on what they idealize about how this will affect their life. And this could be both good and positive. So if you are having a lot of severe symptoms or you're having a lot of emotional instability, you do reach out for persons to help. And this is going to be the best way to get the help that you need. Let's just see if we just have a quick 1 minute session. Thank you. right, great. So that kind of wraps up our topic on menopause. We started off with our PMS, our premenstrual syndrome, and how women go through that and how they can seek help for those different symptoms. And we ended off talking about menopause, which is another stage in a woman's life. These are all kind of things that most women go through. And these are things that they can also get help with if they need assistance. I shouldn't talk about those things if you need to. And because we all just want to make life a lot more comfortable for us. And we women go through a lot of things sometimes. And just good to know that there is help out there and a listening ear and someone who can guide you through these situations that may seem tricky. So I want to thank you all tonight. I hope it was helpful, the topics tonight. So we'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9. The doctor is in with me, Dr. Dinothra Archer Cartwright, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services. I wish you all a good night and see you all next week.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.